Just when you thought the song was out of your head, it's back in. Thunder, feel that. That's why we do it, just to get earworms for it. Does anyone know what earworm means? Does anybody know what that? That's actually the. Here you go, trivia. Earworm is the actual phrase when you get something, that song stuck in your head for all week. That's called an earworm. You're welcome. You guys are dismissed. Nah, I'm just kidding. Hey, thank you for coming out for your first time. I hope that you're enjoying your time here. We're glad that you came out. We know coming to church can sometimes be a scary thing. We get that. But we pray that through the coffee and through the people at the doors that you've made yourself comfortable. Thank you for coming out. My name is Sean Jensen, and I have the awesome privilege of serving this place as the lead pastor along next to my beautiful wife, Lizzie Jensen. And we just got back from a refreshing week at North Carolina, and we missed you guys. There's no place like home. Can I get an amen? I love this place. I miss you guys. You know what blesses me is that when you guys see me, like we had people here saying, how was your vacation? Do you feel refreshed? I'm so thankful that I come to a church that actually wants their pastor to enjoy vacation. Because you would be surprised how many people look at their pastor and say, you don't get vacation. And if you told me that, I was going to go anyways. Because my family needs rest too, and I'm thankful that I have a church who prays for us on vacation. You didn't pray hard enough. I got burnt. But you guys prayed for us, and I'm glad to be back. But man, we've been in this series called Feel the Thunder, and we are in week 3. And I about shut it down after last week because Kathy Roughton preached a house down last week. I was like, do we need to go any further? God used her in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit moved. Thank you, Kathy and Matt, for serving this place constantly, that she can speak with authority and with purpose. And so who was blessed last week by that message? It was so, I know I was. Liz and I went to a church in North Carolina, and their hours different. So we got out into the parking lot, and we pulled up YouTube, and we were watching her preach fire in the parking lot. Like, hey, we need a parking spot. I was like, don't tempt me. I'm watching my home church. Like, right? Like, I'm not moving. Right? Like, welcome. Welcome, squad. Telling me to get out of the parking lot. What are they thinking? But I'm glad you guys came, and it's just been a blessing to see what God's doing in the series. We decided to talk about the voice of God because it says that this voice is for our benefit. In the first week, we talked about what it means to hear the voice of God. Last week, Kathy Roughton came up, and she preached about honoring the voice of God and listening to it. And this week, I want to talk about a phrase and a verse that we've heard so much, and I want to talk more about the voice and how we can experience the life that God has for us and how it is attached to listening to God's voice. And I also want to say, if you're watching online, we love you. Let's give it up for all online people. Thank you. We got people from different states watching, people texting us, letting us know. So thank you for taking time. We appreciate it. You can also check out the old messages if you need to get caught up and feel the thunder. We're going to be in John 10, starting in verse 1. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he's talking about this analogy about sheep and about the gate and how he's the gatekeeper and all these different things. God, Jesus often used creativity to preach the gospel so that people could understand. So that's why I do the same thing. And so in this story, he's talking about sheep, and that's us. So when you see the word sheep, that is God's people. Now, I wish I could be a black panther, a lion. Heck, I would be an elephant before I was a sheep. But God said, you're sheep. Main reason why is because they're stubborn and they can only rely on their shepherd. Come on, let's all have a moment and admit, we are sheep. We are stubborn and we need a creator. And so that's what we are. So when you see that, that's what he is talking about, us, his sheep, if you are in God's family, a believer of Christ. John 10, starting in verse 1. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. So he's talking about them in pasture, behind the barbed wire fence, and a thief is actually jumping over the fence and is going into there. He says that is a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice. Everyone say recognize. And come to him. Guy's depressed. He calls his own sheep by name. Maybe you are, but we're going to get through this. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because, listen, they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. And what he's saying is, I am that gate. Jesus is the gate. The only way to get through is Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the light. At our church, we believe no matter what other people have said, if you want to experience a full life that God has for you, you can only get it by going through Christ. Not good works, not being a good person, not what anybody else says. It's Jesus and only Jesus. We preach Jesus, and through him, all things flow. He is our master. He is our savior. And through him, we can experience the pasture that he has for us. So all good things go through the gate. It goes in verse 7. So he explains to them, I tell you the truth, verse 8, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find, listen, good pastures. I'm not sure what good pastures is, but I want it. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. There's that verse that we may have heard a lot. You've seen it on the coffee mug, right? God came to give us life and life to the full, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we see this contrast of two voices and two outcomes. Lord, I pray right now that you would just bless my words. Holy Spirit, you're already working in this place. I pray not only for me bringing the word, but I pray for people in here who are receiving the word, that their ears would be open. I pray whatever distraction has tried to come in with them from this week, I pray right now the enemy has been rebuked. He has to leave because, Lord, you want us to hear this message today because you want rich and satisfying life for your people. You want to bless us. You do bless us, and you don't want us to miss out on your blessing. So, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in this passage of scripture, Jesus explains this illustration, and we see a couple of things. We see two voices, a familiar voice and a stranger voice, right? He says they recognize my voice, and there's a voice that they don't recognize, and they flee from it. And we see two outcomes. We see the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and life to the full. So we have destruction and life. So we have a stranger voice and a familiar voice, and we have a full life and a destruction life. And so in this scripture, he uses this to show that when we follow God's voice, we actually get the satisfying life that he has. And my question for you is, have you ever gotten in a fight with someone else for trying to bless them? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the waiter that's getting ready to take your money, and you're like, I'm going to pay for this person's food. And you get the money out, but the other person you're paying for had the same idea as well. And so they come out too, and then all of a sudden, in that moment, you take the waiter hostage, and he's freaking out because she doesn't know what to do. You're like, take my card. And everyone's like, no, take my card. Don't listen to that person. No, don't listen to her. Don't listen to them. If you don't listen to me, I will find your family. Like, a little too extreme there, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I've always thought about the person on the other side, like, because I've done that before. I'm like, what do you think they feel like? I don't know if you've ever been in that predicament, but what do you think they felt like? Because if that was me, I would just be, like, behind the counter, like, are they gone? Nope. Like, I would just hide. Like, I'd just be so, because in my mind, I'd be like, who do I listen to? Like, right? Like, which one is less crazy? Like, which one is less going to hurt me if I don't take the card? And I thought about that, like, when we're going through this season of hearing God's voice, I thought in my life, the best message I preach is things I'm going through. And I realized that following the voice of God, maybe the problem you have isn't that you don't hear the voice of God, but you have other voices inside the room too. Can I get an amen? Like, it's like you're trying to hear God's voice, but at the same time, there's another voice saying, no, take this card. No, take this card. No, take this card. No, take this card. No, go this way. No, go this way. No, say this to your wife. Definitely don't say that to your wife. I agree with him. Don't say that at all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think what happens in my own life with preparing messages and living for Christ and with the church and with my family, I don't think it's just that I hear God's voice. It's that sometimes there's another voice that's kind of throwing me off. And I want to talk about that today because there's two different voices. And sometimes in this message, as we just saw, that there's two voices that are happening. And I want to give you hope today, knowing that you're not crazy for hearing that and wondering why you feel like, what voice do I listen to? But my goal today is to get you to a point where you can hear God's voice. But not just that, it says that those who hear his voice, he leads them into rich and satisfying life. My goal as a pastor is to see our church enter into the rich and satisfying life that God has for them. That doesn't mean just money, but things money can't buy. Joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, love, relationships. I'm talking about things that money can't even buy. Does God bring money too? Yes, he does. But I want our church to hear God's voice. Why? So they step into things of full life and not destructing life. And I've noticed in my life that there's been times I've listened to the wrong voice, and because of it, the enemy has tried stealing my joy, killing my patience, taking relationships from me. And so I want to learn to hear the familiar voice. And so today, the name of this message is Stranger Danger. Stranger, everyone say Stranger Danger. You know what I'm talking about? Like when my daughter's four, like knows everything about us, and she doesn't know a stranger. Like at the airport, she was like, hey, what's your name? And they're like, my name is Linda. What's your name? Avery Bell Jensen. This is my daughter, Charlie. Or this is my daughter. This is my sister, Charlie Rose Jensen. That's my mom. That's my dad, Sean, Lizzie. I'm like, if you had your social security number, she'd be like, dee. That's why we haven't, like, everyone's like, does she know her address? I'm like, no, and you're not going to teach her. Because she'll tell everybody because she doesn't know a stranger. Now, I know that's nice because it's good to get to know people, but I'm, like, trying to teach her, like, stranger danger. Like, don't just go up to anybody and tell them your whole life story. Like, you got to, you know, use some discernment. And I look here, and the reason why I call it this is because it says in Scripture that there's a stranger voice, too. And so the stranger voice leads us to destruction, but God's voice leads us to life. And so I want to do my best to lead you down this path to hear God's voice so that you can see the rich and satisfying life he's promised you. And the first thing we need to say is this: you better recognize. You better recognize. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you better recognize. No, come on, that's no attitude. I mean, you're going to look at them like they just told you off, like they don't know who you are, and you're looking back saying, do you know who you're talking to? You better recognize. Come on, look at your neighbor again and say, you better recognize. Come on, get that neck in there. If your neck pops, double points. Like, you better recognize. You see, Jesus begins to talk about this scripture, and he talks about sheep. And it says this in verse 3, the gatekeeper, he opens the gate for him. And listen, the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name. I love that Jesus calls us by our name and not our past shame. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly what you've been through. He knows exactly what you've done, and he still has brought you to this place because he still has a rich and satisfying life for you. He calls you by name, not what you did in your past, not by your shame. He says, and they come out. And so it's hard to hear a voice we don't recognize. In verse 5, he also follows up with this. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. So he says they recognize the voice and they follow it, but they don't recognize the stranger's voice and they flee from it. So sheep, if they don't recognize the voice, actually flee from that voice. And I believe the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart, especially with all believers. Maybe this is new to you and you started coming recently and you gave your heart to Christ, or maybe you've been doing this for a while, and wherever you are, we can learn from this. But I begin to think about how it could be possible that we've actually familiarized the voice of the enemy and we've made God's voice the strange voice in our life. And if we make God's voice the strange voice in our life, that means we will flee from a strange voice. I say that again, because we have familiarized a stranger's voice, and we have actually made God's voice strange. And what happens is we flee from it. And what I'm trying to get at is when Jesus says this, I want to go a step further and be like, what if the things we're running from are actually God's voice? It's just that they seem strange to us. Because let's just be honest. When you first stepped in here and you saw what this church was about, it looked a little strange. There's hands going everywhere. People are praying over people. People are running to the front to get prayed over. This is just strange. I'm not used to it. See, what happens as believers is in our culture, we have been trained and accustomed for so long to recognize God's voice. And what happens is this culture has trained us how we're supposed to look, that when we begin to look in Scripture and we begin to come to church, everything else looks strange. It all looks strange. I feel like I'm not connecting with you right now, so I'm going to keep going and take a little bit more time. When you grow familiar to the way the culture does things and what others tell you, anything that says otherwise is strange. That's why when Matt Whitman came up here and began to talk about giving, you've never done that before, and that just seems different. I've never given 10% to the church. That's strange. But God's word said to do it. And what happens is when God says it, we have a lot of believers in church who hear the voice of God, and instead of actually going towards the rich and satisfying life, it's strange to them, and they flee from it. I know that I'm supposed to be in groups. I know that I'm supposed to serve, and that's what I hear on stage, but guess what? That's what God's voice says. But instead of actually saying, oh, I hear you, it's strange, and we flee from it. And because we're fleeing from it, we're fleeing from the abundant life God has for us, too. It also says in Scripture to keep your marriage bed pure. But that's strange for us if we live in the 21st century, because that's traditional. But what happens when we begin to live life, we realize that Christ, Jesus, and God defined marriage. He made marriage, and he knows how it works, and he doesn't want you to suffer and hurt and have baggage. He has life and life to the full for you. So he says, if it looks strange, I know it seems strange, but I promise you, if you follow that strange voice, if it's in Scripture, it will lead to a rich and satisfying life in your marriage. Because it looks strange. I'm just telling you, these things look strange. Men are the leaders of the household. That's what it says in Scripture. That's strange because maybe you thought the wife's job was to get the family to church. Because that's what the Simpsons told you. But the truth is, God said the man should be rising up and being a leader of the household. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, dying, giving yourself up for her. Well, that's strange. But it's God's voice. If we listen to God's voice, it will lead to full life. It will lead to full life. I mean, wasn't it strange to build an ark when it's never rained before? Noah did it. Never once had it rained from the ground or from the sky. It only came up from the ground at this time. It's in Scripture. And he says, hey, build an ark. I'm going to bring down rain. That's strange. One Scripture talks about, hey, I'm bringing a great water. I'm bringing rain. Go and dig ditches. So when the rain comes, I'll fill it in the drought season. That's strange. I'm not going to dig ditches. Jesus says, I know that that person hurt you and they spit on your family's name and they did some terrible things to your family and maybe even your kids, but I'm asking you to forgive. That's strange. Forgive those who hurt me? Strange. You see, I look at this and I realize that there's some things in our life. Maybe to stop watching. I know in my heart, stop watching those movies that maybe God's beginning to put in my heart because they're objectifying women. And you know, when I met Christ and he said, Sean, I know you like this music and I'm taking you to a rich and satisfying life. And his voice comes in and says, I know you're listening to Lil Wayne. I know you're listening to all this rap. And I'm not here to condemn anybody. But for my life, I was struggling with sex addiction. And every song was about objectifying women and how they gyrate and what they look like. And I couldn't do it. And God said, if you want rich and satisfying life and to have your bondage ripped out, you might need to do a strange thing. I know it seems strange. Throw those CDs out. Throw those movies out. I know you may look at me like I'm strange, but I'd rather look strange and be free than you sit and say, hey, can you be not strange and be in bondage? I know God has asked me to do this. And maybe you came in a year ago and you said, this place is strange. They're lifting up their hands. And now you're up on the front row going, oh my gosh, you're never gonna let, never gonna let. Because what used to be strange has now become familiar. Could it be that some things that are strange in your life is actually what God wants to make familiar in your life? Yeah. Hey, Mom, can you come up here real fast? As my mom's coming up, I want to say this. What started strange has become familiar, and what was familiar has become strange. You see, when we make God a stranger, it puts us in danger, and we miss out on the abundant life God has for us. See, I thought about my mom. She wasn't here in the first experience, so I just had to talk to you. She's nervous right now because I didn't tell her what I was going to say. Some of you may know my mom. This is Melissa Jensen. This is where I get all my good looks. Sorry, Dad.
It's like
it. and so I was thinking about this and how what was strange has become familiar. What is familiar can become strange. And maybe you're here and you see we're in this tension of where these things look strange, but if it's in God's word, he wants to make it familiar with you so that you can find the rich and satisfying life. I thought about my mom. And so if you know my mom today, that's awesome. It's the one you should know. But 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I'm getting older, so I lose math. If you got to realize something, if you saw my mom today, you're driving down the road, right? And you pull into a parking spot and you see my mom walk up to your car, this one right here, and she ask you to roll down your window. And you roll down your window, she goes, hey, got any drugs? You can laugh. It's okay. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, that's strange. Let's just be honest. Is that strange? That's strange. But 20 years ago. Now, if my mom told you that she got in a bar fight today, that's strange, right? But 20 years ago, some of you will say, she is the one of the most encouraging women I have ever met. But 20 years ago, she was ripping people down in a bar. What am I trying to say? What used to be familiar in the bar is now strange to her lifestyle now. And what was strange back there is now familiar today. God wants to take you from familiar to strange, from strange to familiar. So you stop tearing people down, and now you use your words to build up. Can you give my mom a big hand of applause? What used to be strange. And the point I'm trying to make is this, is that maybe you're fleeing from a voice that's actually trying to help you, and you've familiarized the culture, you familiarize the voice that tells you to treat your husband like that, but God's word says that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Maybe we need to get to the point where we realize the familiar voice. We got to recognize. I know there's some things that seem strange. I know building an ark seems strange, but it saved his entire family. Could it be that the thing God's asking you to do that is strange could save your entire family? Time to drop the bottle. It's time to give when God says it hurts. See, it doesn't make sense to be generous. It doesn't make sense. I was reading articles this week. Churches that have closed their doors. It said when economic crisis happened in churches, they held on to the money that was in the house. And the churches that thrived were the ones who had no money, yet were generous to their community. That's strange, but that's how God works. And what happens, it may start out strange, but it may grow into familiarity. And I'm here to tell you that we got to recognize. So how do we recognize? 1 John 4:1-3, dear friends, do not believe every spirit that tests the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Now, I'm not going to turn this into an apocalyptic message, because some of you are like, oh, the Antichrist, Revelation. No, it says it's already in the world. Antichrist just means going against Christ. We always look at other people, oh, that's the Antichrist. It's a spirit, not a person. And the Antichrist is doing things that are Antichrist. So when God asks us to follow his voice because he's for us and we don't do it, we're Antichrist. And we all had that tendency to do that because we're human. But God loves us so much that he doesn't give up on us. He's got grace for us. He's got peace and mercy for us. And he says, if you just trust me, I will take you to good pasture. We have to recognize the voice. So what does that mean? It means that God's voice is in your Bible. You need to grow in a relationship with your word. You cannot test the spirits if you don't know what God's word says. So I hope that if I ever say anything here that doesn't line up with God's word, that you just wad it up and throw it in the garbage because it's not important. Even what I say, you should leave and look in God's word. Test the spirits. Make sure God's word says that's his voice. Thought about Avery, who came in this week. She goes, Dad, Mommy said I could get on my iPad. You gave your 4-year-old the iPad? Yeah. There's restrictions on it. Mom said I could get on my iPad. At first I was like, well, it's a weird time of the day. She was on it this morning for this much time. And I began to think, like, that's not how her mom operates. And so I was like, your mom told you that, huh? She's like, well, she told me earlier I could get on it. And I was like, well, you did get on it for 15 minutes, and then you were done. And she was just like, yeah, but she said I could get on it. And then at that moment, I was like, no, you're not supposed to be on your iPad. I know. And she, like, walked away, like, okay. And I realized at that moment what happened is because I know my wife's voice and her rules and what she said is true, that when a strange voice, even if it's my daughter, came in and said, I can get on the iPad, I was like, hold up, sister. Your mom said something else, and some of you need to realize that there's a lot of stranger's voice coming into your household, but if you get a hold of the familiar voice, anything that tries to come in, you can be like, hold up, sister, not in this house. You're not stealing my joy. You're not stealing my peace. I'm going, That's just what it is. And so when you recognize God's voice, you can test the spirits, which means the more you're in God's word, the more you're going to recognize the enemy's voice, and the more you're going to step towards abundant life God has for you. This is why the word is so important. It's not just something to collect dust on the nightstand. It is life and life to the full. Jesus is the word become flesh. We got to recognize. Number two, surround yourself with sheeple. It's sheep and people put together. You like that? Everyone say bad. That was bad. I'm a dad. Give me a break. Surround yourself with sheeple. It says in verse 4, after he gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Remember, sheep are people who hear the voice of God. If you want to recognize the voice of God, you should surround yourself with people who are familiar with the voice of God. You want to start hearing the voice of God for yourself? Then surround yourself with people in the church, sheeple, who are familiar with the voice of God. Because the longer you walk with them, I'm telling you, you'll begin to hear God's voice too. Surround yourself with sheeple. It says in Proverbs 13:20, and yes, I do make up words to get my point across. Don't make fun of me. Look at me like, oh, well, that's not very IQ-ish, whatever you want to say. That's not very intelligent. That's the word I was looking for. That's not very intelligent. I will do whatever it takes for people to get stuck. And honestly, people are going to remember it. Sheeple. Everyone say sheeple. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. If there's some things in your life that are being destroyed and falling apart, it might be because you're following the stranger's voice. He says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. The wise hear the voice of God. God's word. What is wise? People who fear God, in reverence of God, are in God's word, which means people who hear the voice of God are wise, and we need to surround ourselves with people who are doing that. Why? Because you become what you befriend. Write that down 20 times. You become what you befriend. You become what you befriend. This doesn't mean that we don't go out and reach people for Christ. It just means that you need to surround yourself with people who are going the same way as you, so when you try reaching people who don't know Christ, they can't pull you to a different side. Yes, we reach them, but we need people who are sending us the right way. You want to hear the voice of God. You want the rich and satisfying life. You need to surround yourself with sheeple. We were on our way to Myrtle Beach last week, and we were actually in the terminal, and we were flying out of Midway, and we went back into the terminal, and we were in a terminal. And at the back of the terminal, there was actually four spots. So it was like a room this big right here, and there was four terminals in a room this big. So that means there was like A8, one plane, A9 going somewhere else, A10, A11, whatever. Somewhere like, it would be A8, whatever. A9, there's four in here. They're all going to different destinations. And we were sitting in there, and I had the girls. We were trying to feed them, and they were just being crazy, and there was voices going everywhere, because what happens is when they board, they let you know, okay, we will be boarding, pre-boarding here soon. And then, okay, there's A boarding. After A boarding, there's family boarding, and then there's B boarding, and then there's C boarding. And if you're in C boarding, you're not sitting with your loved ones. You need to adopt a child or just find a child at the airport and say, hey, will you go on there with family boarding, and then get rid of them when you get on. But anyways, it works. This is like, hey, you want to be a family today? and so that's how it works. And so they say that over their intercom, except there was three other terminals. So I'm just trying to listen. I'm getting a little stressed out because that's what happens. I'm working on it. My wife notices. She's like, just calm down a little bit. And I'm not like upset. I'm just like, okay, like I just want to make sure I hear because I want to get on because we have to sit next to our girls. We actually need to take up two rows because I'm going to sit with Avery here and you're going to sit with Charlie there. So I'm just trying to take care of him like a good father should. And as I was listening, at the same time, my girls are eating food. Charlie, my youngest, has a French fry and she's like licking it and then she's touching the ground with it. And then she's like, I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, what is she doing? I turn around, Avery's licking the seat, the metal part. I'm like, these are my children in their natural habitat. Like, this is, like everything metal. My Avery's just like, that looks like it should be good. I'm like, does it taste the same? So I'm like, what is going on? Put the ketchup on the ground, just dig it up there. I don't care, whatever. And so finally, I'm just like listening, and I hear something. I'm like, oh, is that us? And Liz's like, no, it's not us. I'm like, oh, did they say family boarding? She goes, no, they haven't even pre-boarded yet. So I was like, forget it. I'm not even listening anymore. So I sat down and I had an epiphany, an idea. I saw that when they call A-board, because we're after A-boarding, everybody lines up when they call A-boarding. And guess what? Nobody was lined up. They were all sitting down. So I said, forget it. I don't know what anyone's saying. I can't hear it. There's voices everywhere. I'm just going to wait until everyone stands up and lines up. And sure enough, all of a sudden, 60 people got up in my terminal and walked towards it. And I was like, the time is now. Let's go. And I came to tell some people today that you need to surround yourself, even if you don't hear the voice of God, as long as you're around people who are going to the same destination, when they move, you move. When they love their wife, you love your wife. When they give, you give. When they worship, even though they're going through a hard time, guess what? I'm going to the same place. I'm going to worship even. Guess what I'm trying to say is, even if you don't hear the voice of God, if you're surrounded by people who do, you can just be like, I'm going with them. Because there's times that we need people in our life. We can't do this. We were created for each other. You can't do this by yourself. Well, my grandpa said isolation. I can't trust anybody. Your grandpa is not God. Yes, you love him. Yes, he took care of him. But Scripture, the voice says, it may be strange that you need people to do life with. And he says, if they're going that way, that's helped me so many times where it's just like, well, I want a better marriage and they... Here, honey, here's some flowers. There's been times in my life that I surround myself with better marriages because I realized that I may be missing things, but the longer I'm around people who are following God's word, I can respond like them, I can give like them, I can help like them. That's why I surround myself with pastors who love their church, who have great character when no one's watching. Why? So I can surround myself with people so that when I don't know and can't hear the voice of God, I say, what do you do? And they said, listen, this is what we did. So even when maybe you can't hear the voice of God and there's voices going everywhere, if you surround yourself with people who are going the same place, you can learn from them and go when they go. That's what I love about our groups. You think we do groups just because it's like a cliche thing that we want you to be a part of throughout the week? No, our church is growing by leaps and bounds, and you need sheeple in your life so that when you are confused, when you go through a diagnosis, when you don't know what to say, when you're struggling with infertility, when you don't know how to handle a situation, there's people around you who said, listen, you may not hear the voice of God here, but I tell you what, 10 years ago, I went through the same addiction, and this is how I got through it. If you follow me on the same destination, you'll get through it too. We need people in our life. Put yourself around sheeple. Put yourself around people. If they're going to encourage your spouse, guess what? I'm going to encourage my spouse. If they're going to be generous, I'm going to be generous because it's working. If they're not going to complain about situations, they pray about situations. I love that about people, that when I start to complain, they're like, we're going to pray for that right now. I'm like, why didn't I think of that first? I'm the pastor. But putting those people in my life has reminded me that if I want the rich and satisfying life. You see, a lot of people are intimidated by people in church. Well, they're holier now, and they have all the blessings, and they're telling that they're just better than me. No. Don't let the enemy let them intimidate you. Instead, imitate them. He puts people in your life who are better than you. Newsflash, people are better than you. Newsflash, people are better than me. Newsflash, I am not the best preacher in the world. Newsflash, you're not the best husband in the world. It's okay. But we can surround ourselves with people who are doing it, and we can imitate them. Don't be intimidated by people doing it better than you. Be inspired by it. Let it push you forward. I love surrounding myself with people who preach the word so well. Why? So it can inspire me to dream bigger and make better decisions. Surround yourself with sheep. Well, I thought about Tiffany Armstrong, her and Matt Armstrong. They just handed the groups over to Lynette and Colin Duncan, which, by the way, you need to sign up for groups. We're starting a new season next May. Get around sheeple. The kiosk is out there. I'm going to say it again before I leave. Was that definitely an infomercial? You better believe it is. Get around sheeple. Matt and Tiffany Armstrong, they're kind of a quiet bunch. And just me mentioning her name, she goes into turtle mode. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get it? Like turtle mode? Like, not that funny? I'm going to keep doing it. Because I think it's pretty hilarious. Like a turtleneck, yeah. Who had to wear a turtleneck? Anyone had to wear a turtleneck? Did your parents make you wear a turtleneck? I'm sorry. Yes. And I thought about how she was growing this year. She goes, I want to hear the voice of God, and I feel like God wants me to do more. And she doesn't like talking with people or praying for people at the time. And so she sat down with Liz and I and she explained. And as she explained, she just said, I'm trying to hear God's voice more and be obedient. And I remember encouraging, I was like, listen, like God wants to use you on Sunday. I know you may be introverted, but God wants to use you to speak into people's lives because you have a gift of discernment and you know what's happening in people's lives and God wants you to speak that. He wants you to prophesy into their life. He wants you to let them know what's going on. And so we talked about it, and she was surrounding herself. She goes, how do you do it? Like, because I've seen you do it. I've seen Liz do it. How do you do it? And we explained to her. That next week, she texted us after. She goes, oh, my gosh, I was shaking because you told me to pray. Lord, open my eyes for someone I could encourage, and I prayed it. And I shouldn't have prayed it, but I prayed it. And God showed me someone I needed to pray for, and I prayed for that person. And right after I prayed for them, they started up for a group because they realized they needed people in their life. Well, strange. And now we do an altar call. Come down front if you need prayer. Tiffany's one of the first people up here like, come on, somebody. I'll pray for you. I'll speak into your life. This was someone who would hide in the corner and doesn't care if anybody sees her. And now, inspired by the Holy Spirit, what was strange has become familiar. She surrounded herself with people who could encourage her gift. And now she's up front speaking into other people's life. Because I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you're introverted, extroverted. I don't care what personality you have. If God says it, it's greater than any personality you have. You just got to be obedient to it. And when you do it, God will show up. But she surrounded herself with people who could push her forward. And being and us surrounding ourselves with Matt and Tiffany has encouraged Liz and I how to love each other even through trials, because through cancer, they stuck together and her husband served her. And so I got to watch that. And we both grew. Why? Because we surrounded ourselves with sheeple. We go the same way. So our encouragement is walk with people who hear the voice of God, and you will learn to hear it for yourself. Just hang out with people who hear the voice of God. And when they say, I sense that, talk to them about it. Number three, follow the leader no matter what. So we're going to recognize the voice. We're going to surround myself with sheeple. What does that mean, Sean? It means people in the church. Don't just clap for this. Apply it. Amen. That was good preaching. I love that. And you're out the door. I don't do that for your claps. I do this for your change. And if you leave this place and don't write three names down of people you can surround yourself with, you may be in hurt. But if you can find three people you can trust and you can surround yourself with, or you can sign up for a group even if it's scary, I promise you, you surround yourself with people that when you don't know what to do, you'll have people who will begin to head the same direction. And what's messy about that is that when you spend time with people and you become roommates, you get to know their personality, and all of a sudden it's like you can't stand them, you can't stand this. That's just normal. But you don't leave that relationship. You work on it. Make allowance for each other's fault. Can I tell you something? Some people can't stand you either. That's one thing that helped me. I freed myself from that. I'm like, I just can't stand that person. And my wife's like, some people can't stand you either. I'm like, you are absolutely right. But if we can learn to stand each other because our center is Jesus Christ, we will move forward in life. Number three, follow the leader no matter what. Follow the leader no matter what. Verse 4, after he gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. You see, I think the word leader is thrown around very loosely in today's culture. And maybe you don't know this, but you're always leading someone somewhere. I have to remind myself this as a husband and a father. I am always leading my kids somewhere. If I make a decision, if I don't make a decision, I am leading them somewhere. We're always leading them to life or maybe destruction. We're constantly leading. I think the word leader gets thrown out loosely because our culture has made leadership, until recently, has made leadership seem brash, and you respect me, and you do this, and whatever I say goes. And at our church, we say that we want to look like Jesus. That's our goal. We want to look like Jesus for our community. We just believe that when we look like Jesus, it fixes our problems. And so if we want to look like Jesus, I believe Jesus was the best leader that we could learn from, the greatest leader of all time. And he was a servant leader, which means that there may be times as a leader, we wash our disciples' feet. As a leader, we serve the people under us. Jesus served his disciples by washing their feet, and one of those disciples' name was Judas. He even served the person he knew would betray him. Would we serve the people even though they would know betray us? He says leadership is thrown so loosely. Loosely is thrown all out. But Jesus isn't a pushing leader. He doesn't just push you into things. He doesn't just push you out of the nest. I've heard people say, you got to be like the eagle. If the eagle wants to change, or if the eagle wants to train the eaglets how to fly when they're a little bit older, it just kicks them out of the nest. Like, oh my God. It's demented, right? Like, just gotta kick them out and wait. And that's how they learn to fly. And we've adopted that, I think, into our leadership, where we just kick people out and say, fly. It's like that crazy guy, right, that's twitching. He goes, you know how I learned how to swim? My daddy just threw me in the pool in the deep end. I just figured it out. I'm like, and that's why you're twitching. Like, that's great you learned how to swim, but maybe you could have done it a little bit differently. Like, right? Like, maybe you've been thrown in. Maybe you're that person. Yeah, I threw my kid in the pool. What about it? Go for it. Go on with your bad self. But what I'm trying to say is maybe there's another option. Maybe instead of pushing, maybe we can start pulling. Jesus never pushes disciples into something that he wasn't already in. He showed them how to heal first. He showed them how to pray first. He showed them the cross first. And he says, take up your cross like I've taken up mine. He pulled them to where he already was. Good leaders don't push people to other places. Good leaders pull people to where they already are. That's why I will not be a good leader as a pastor if I'm not living the stuff I'm preaching. You need to take care of your family, and mine's crazy. No, I'm not saying you can't have crazy, because all families are dysfunctional. You know what I'm saying. I'm neglecting them. But leaders pull. Jesus always pulled to where he was. I thought about when we were on vacation, our girls went swimming in the pool, and I had my nephew was there, Bryson, and Avery was my 4-year-old, and Charlie's my 2-year-old, and they had floaties on, and I was sitting out of the pool with my father-in-law. And as all of them got into swimming, they were enjoying it, but Charlie was just hanging at the ladder, and she didn't really like it, and she would like slowly like flow out and just start screaming like, ah! And so we have to like help her out. Well, my father-in-law, I was getting ready to go out there. I was super burnt, by the way, so I was scared to get in. So I was just like, oh, it's going to be so cold. But he got up real fast, and he went down. And as he went down the steps, he went out past Charlie, and she was watching him. And he went out where it was deep to her, and he turned around. And he's like, come here, Charlie. And she didn't come. And so he went to her, grabbed her by her little arms, and slowly pulled her out and then brought her in. And when she got scared, he brought her in and held her. And then when she got used to it, he brought her back out and did that for a while. And then finally he got to the point where all three of them were swimming in the pool by themselves, and we were out talking, watching them swim. Yeah. That's Jesus. Some of you are scared to listen to the voice because it's going to take you to something that's over your head. But he's not going to tell you to go somewhere he's not already at. It says that he walks ahead of his sheep and they follow him. Which means you can follow the voice of God even if it seems strange, even if it seems scary. He was walking on the water when Peter said, call me to come out, and he pulled him out. And even when he began to sink, he pulled him up. Jesus doesn't push, he pulls. And because he pulls, you can rest assured that wherever he's sending you, he's there. And he will not let you drown. He will not let you go to the point where he can finally get outside the pool, and you're just going, woo-hoo! And by that time, he pulls you to a deeper end. This is our God. He has a rich and satisfying life for you. My daughter enjoyed that pool like nobody's business. You know how miserable it would have been to sit on the ladder the whole weekend? Some of you are sitting on the ladder the whole life. And he says, if you just follow me out, I'll be here. And when you get scared, I'll bring you in. But we're not going back. We're not going back. You see, guys, I'd rather be uncomfortable and in the presence of God than comfortable and not in the presence of God. When God calls us out, he leads us out. What does this have to do with hearing his voice? Some of you are hearing God's voice, but you're scared because of your finances. You're scared because you don't know what they'll do if you forgive them. You're scared because you don't know how they're going to respond. You're scared because you don't like people very much, so you don't want to get people around you. And what happens is you're nervous, but I want you to see that God's not going to ask you to do something he's not already done. And he's leading you out, and he'll be with you in that process. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. Has anyone in here, great segue, has anyone in here ever been in a haunted house? Anybody? Ever been on? Come on, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to kick you out of church. Like, have you ever been there? A couple more hands. Okay. Like, I don't like haunted houses. The main, not because of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not because of the blood and all the other things. I don't like haunted houses because the creepy little kids. Can I get an amen? Creepy little kids are the worst. The Ring movie ruined everything for me. I can't sometimes I see little kids. Like this week, we were in North Carolina. My daughter was sleeping in the same room as us in her pack and play. We heard a slam at 3 a.m. We thought it was Avery coming out of her room, and so I went up to check on her. I got out of bed, stood up in pitch black, and Charlie is so short, she's not taller than the bed. And so I come around the bed, and right there, it was like that moment, like, dee, 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 dee. I come around the corner, and there's Charlie with her blankie, and she's just like, with her passy. And I was like, oh my gosh! Now my wife wakes up, and everybody wakes up, and all these things happen. I just don't like little, they creep me out. Now once I knew it was her, I was like, okay. And at the haunted house, I've run into predicaments where I've been in the front and like the ring girl comes out. I think I hit her once. I was like, I'm sorry. You wanted to be in this. And I realized I know the secret when it comes to haunted houses. Let me tell you, if you want to go through the haunted house and make it through it without wetting your pants or running out like a coward, get in the middle. Because if you go with a group of people, you don't want to be in the front. And you don't want to be in the back. Because if you're in the front, you're going to get scared first. And if you're in the back, they're going to trail you the whole rest of the way. And they're just going to be like, but if you're in the middle, you're going to just be like, sucks to be you. Right. As they walk in. If you're in the middle, you see what's coming up ahead of you. And for someone behind you, you know that they're going to take the blow before you do. See, Jesus wants us to follow him, and I know sometimes life seems like a haunted house. We don't know what's going to come over the bends. We don't know what's going to happen around the turns. Sometimes it seems scary and unknown. It seems dark because where he sends us to go, we're unfamiliar with. But he said that I will go ahead of you and I will lead you. But in Isaiah 52:12, it says you will not leave in a hurry, running for your lives, for the Lord your God will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. I'm here to tell some people today, he goes ahead of you to guide you, but he stands behind you to protect you. So when you step out in unfamiliar situations, know you have a God who is fighting behind you and he's guiding in front of you. You just gotta stay in the middle and enjoy the ride. You just gotta stay in the middle. So I don't know what he's asking you to do, but just realize that he goes in front of you. He took the cross before you, and he fights off the enemy behind you. If you can just follow him, he will take care of you. He'll send you ahead, and he'll be your rear guard. It says in the song, you'll never let us go. You're never gonna let us go. Never gonna let us go. I just think right now as a church, we should sing that. Because some people in here, you know what God's asking you to do, and you're a little nervous right now, but what we're going to do right now is we're going to stand up on our feet, and we're going to declare this song, and you're going to make a decision today that you're going to step out, even though it seems scary. You're going to step out, you're going to heal relationships, you're going to sign up for a group, you're going to do something that scares you, but you're going to remind yourself that God hasn't failed you now, and he's not going to fail you. He hasn't failed you up to now, and he's definitely not going to fail you now. So let's sing this song together. He's a good God that will never fail us. Come on.